Underwriting support for Hometown Sunday Morning from the Sharon Valley Tavern since the 1930s, serving the community with a rich history and roots dating back to the 1800s. Today, the tavern continues to serve the residents of the tri-state region with a relaxing atmosphere 7 days a week, food, friends, and fun the old-fashioned way, 860-364-9355. You'll find them on Facebook, Sharon Valley Tavern. Associated Lightning Rod, Route 22 in Millerton, installing lightning protection for homes and businesses for well over 50 years, 518-789-4603. ALRCI.com on the web. Sagala Turnkey Housing, Route 7 in Canaan, an authorized independent builder for Westchester Modular Homes, 860-824-0019, Sagalas.com. Roaring Oaks Florist in Lakeville, Connecticut, unique designs with personal attention, RoaringOaksFlorist.com. Dave's TV, Route 44 in Millerton, New York, everything for home entertainment, video, audio, satellite TV, 518-789-3881, Dave'sTV.net. McEnroe Organic Farm Market, Route 22 in Millerton, open year-round 7 days a week, 518-789-4191, McEnroeOrganicFarm.com. Northeast Muffler, Route 22 in Millerton, New York, 518-789-3669. On Facebook, Northeast Muffler. Upcountry Services in Sharon, serving the northwest corner and neighboring Dutchess County for over 30 years, 800-791-2916, upcountryservices.com.
Morning, listeners. It's Hometown Sunday Morning on Robin Hood Radio. It's 2 minutes after the 9 o'clock hour. It's September 23rd. Before saying good morning to NASCAR Dave and the crew, I have some PSAs for you. Starting with the benefit dinner for Jim Tanner. A benefit chicken barbecue, Chinese auction, and 50-50 raffle for Jim Tanner will take place today from 2 to 6 at the Millerton Firehouse at 24 Century Boulevard. The cost is $15 per person. The dinner includes one half chicken, coleslaw, baked potato, corn on the cob, and a brownie. Jim Tanner, a lifelong resident of Millerton, a father of three, husband, and self-employed Millerton businessman, has recently been diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. This dinner is a benefit to supplement all expenses incurred during his illness. For more information, call Patty Morrison at 914-475-6602 or 518-789-0207 or Lenny Morrison at 914-475-0408 or 518-789-0207. For tickets, contact Bob Snyder at 845-464-3962. Talk of the Town or Talk of the Town Deli or Elizabeth's Jewelry. To make a donation, send a check payable to the Millerton Fire Department, Jim Tanner Benefit in the memo line, and mail to Patty Morrison, 63 State Line Road, Millerton, New York, 12546. In Norfolk, the Norfolk Land Trust will host its 5K and 10K trail race today with the start and finish for both races at the Barber Woods Trailhead at 75 Lovers Lane. The 10K race kicks off at noon. Runners will follow the classic 5K route for a mile, then branch off toward Haystack Mountain. Runners will ascend the mountain, loop around the tower, and then descend to the park's main entrance to finish the run through Barber Woods. There's a pancake breakfast in Wissahick this morning. The Auxiliary of the Wissahick Fire Company will sponsor its last breakfast and bake sale of the season today until 11 a.m. at 23 Firehouse Road. The breakfast is all you can eat. Walk This Way, Joy Construct's 30th annual walk today. Registration is at 12:30. It's a 4-mile walk. It starts at Ski Butternut and finishes at the Great Barrington Fairgrounds. Sign up at www.constructinc.org. There's a roast beef dinner in Pine Plains. The First United Presbyterian Church is sponsoring a roast beef dinner takeout only, today. Pickup is between 4:30 and 5:30 at the Fellowship Hall, located at 3039 East Church Street. The price is $12 per dinner. To make reservations for a dinner, call Carol Hart at 518-398-7056. You're listening to Hometown Sunday Morning on Robin Hood Radio and RobinHoodRadio.com. I'm Chad Wildy.
Patriot Larry.
Farmer Paul.
NASCAR Dave, welcome to this edition of Hometown Sunday Morning. Busy, busy, busy weekend for sure. And a lot of stuff going on for sure. Had a great day yesterday at the Salisbury Winter Sports Association Golf Tournament, and I'm sure we'll be talking to the world-famous reporter Willie Hallahan. He can tell us what's going on this week and all the sporting events that raise funds for good causes, and also do a report on the on yesterday's tournament, which I thought was a huge success. And while I'm at it, I need to thank the boys and girls from the food drive, Bob and Pat Melius, of course, Randy Christensen, Pat Dineen, Dave Peterson. He not only came up to help with the cook the pig, but also ended up doing breakfast sandwiches and doing a lunch and then doing the sweet corn besides. So good day had by all, and with all the help that they had there at the Under Mountain Country Club, it went really smooth, I thought. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. Some other things, like we said, coming up today, that Walk for Alzheimer's is out in Litchfield. I'm sure Willie will be talking about that. We had my wife Chris and Linda Orlowski on last week. So I'm thinking the Horizon Hikers from Noble are probably on their way out to Litchfield to do that walk. And then maybe next week we'll hear how much money they actually raised. They were above their goal as of last week, so by $5 or $10. So that's really good news. And research is where it's at with that. So that being said, we're going to be calling Patty Morrison here in a little while and chat with her about some of the things that are going on with the Jim Tanner fundraiser today. I know there's a couple of bands that have donated their time. It's going to be Eat In or Take Out at the Firehouse. I'm not even sure if there's any tickets available. I know the chicken cookers have already started to clean the pit out at American Legion Post and are going to get their fires going to cook 450 halves or beyond. So with all that being said, I guess what we better do is kick off this edition with Hometown Sunday Morning. And we always start out with a troop tribute, and we're going to pass it off to Larry the Patriot to take us through this week's. And one thing I need to do this week is my rope broke on my flagpole.
Oh.
I noticed this morning.
Almost ready to break.
No, it's not. That's just twisted like me. No, we did that. That's a long story how that got twisted.
Oh, somebody ran in.
No. I put it down in the middle of winter to change the flag because it's hinged.
Yeah.
And it was a big... That year there was a lot of frozen ice on the ground. Mm-hmm. And so we tried to break through the ice with the pole.
Mm-hmm. Didn't work.
It didn't work. It bent the pole. Bent a 2-inch galvanized pipe.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. So you have a lot of force. You're out 25 feet pulling down on the pole to reach it, and you pull up at the base of it was on the ice, and it just bent the pipe.
Who was we? Wow. It's certainly not Christine.
No, it was a friend of mine from the culinary, Bob Flanagan. But anyway, so I've got to get that taken care of.
How do you replace the rope? You have to get the pole down?
Yeah, you just flop it down. Still flops down.
Yeah.
It'd be flopped right down easy today because this week because there's no ice on the ground, Paul. Did you ever think of that?
Huh.
Imagine that.
Didn't know that.
All right, so that being said,
Why did you just wait for the ice to go away?
Because I had to change the flag. The flag was all tattered. The rope at that point had jammed from the wind on the pulley up on top.
Yeah.
And I couldn't raise or lower. So I had to Well, I had to take drastic action.
Apparently so.
But it's unique. It's just like me. It's twisted.
Yeah.
You have a problem with my twisted flagpole?
No, no. I love it.
I don't even see a flagpole at your house.
There used
or
to be
a flag.
No, there used to be.
Used to be, yeah, but used to be history.
It is history now, yeah.
All right, so that being said, let's have Larry kick us off this week, and then we'll trot along from there through the show like we normally do here on Sunday mornings.
In defense of you, though, David, I think in one way or another, we're all somewhat twisted some way. Good morning, hometown listeners. There are few military medal awards more honorable and deserving than the Purple Heart. The Purple Heart distinguishes a military member who has been physically wounded in a combat situation. Most have stared the Grim Reaper in the eye and won the confrontation due to fate, although some are awarded posthumously. I have been privileged to know many of these individuals. The following story is from a VFW magazine article by Robert Kiner entitled Fought, Bled, and Died, which best describes the importance of the Purple Heart. On to the story. In the cozy basement or man cave of his tidy Vermont home, Zachariah Fick picks up a Purple Heart, perhaps the military's best-known medal, and cradles it lovingly in the palm of his beefy left hand. He turns over the slightly scuffed and tarnished heart-shaped medal and sees a name inscribed on the back. World War II, he says as he looks over the medal that was recently sent to him. At least that is what it looks like. Might have been lost or stolen or sold. Vic, a blue-eyed, 6'6", 36-year-old, full-time Vermont Army National Guard major, turns over the Purple Heart and carefully smooths out the frayed and curled purple and white ribbon. These medals were awarded to people who fought, bled, and died for this country, he explains, and that's why we should do everything we can to see that they are returned. As he carefully puts the medal back in its battered purple and gold presentation case, Fick said, "The soldier who was awarded this medal was a hero, and his medal deserves its own place of honor." Honor is a word that Fick often uses when he describes how and why he has taken on the mission of returning lost, sold, and stolen Purple Hearts to the rightful owners. Over the past 5 years, during which he set up the non-profit Purple Hearts Reunited, Fick and his team of volunteers have returned more than 400 Purple Hearts to recipients, or more often, to their families. Using the internet and finely honed detective skills, Fick has spent countless off-duty hours and much of his own money buying Purple Hearts online and in antique stores or pawn shops, tracing the recipients and returning the medals. Purple Hearts were awarded for acts of bravery, and it's an honor for me to play a small role in reuniting them with their recipients or families, he said. Fick remembers the exact moment when he began his one-man volunteer mission. A self-described Army brat, he comes from a proud military family and has served in the military for 19 years with deployments to Iraq and Afghanistan. His father is a retired Army Command Sergeant Major, and his mother was an Army Drill Corporal. Relatives have served in the Vietnam War, both World Wars, in the Civil War, and the Revolutionary War. Knowing I am a collector of military memorabilia, my mother gave me a Purple Heart as a Christmas gift in 2009, he explains. She bought it for $100 from an antique shop in Watertown, New York. The minute he tore off the gift's wrapping paper, he knew what it was, and I immediately knew I had to return this Purple Heart, he said. It wasn't mine. It needed to go home again. Although he didn't know it then, he had found his life's mission. All Fick had to go on was a name engraved on the back of the medal. Corrado A.G. Piccoli, He combed the internet but found nothing. Three weeks later, he was deployed to Afghanistan for a tour of the 172nd Cavalry Regiment and had to abandon his search. But he never forgot that Piccoli's Purple Heart, which he had tucked away safely in his parents' home in New York. Back home in December 2010, Vic resumed his internet search. Thanks to an updated genealogy site, he discovered that Piccoli was born in Italy in 1923, immigrated with his parents to Watertown, New York, and enlisted in the Army in 1943. It was a start. Sadly, as Vic soon discovered, on October 7, 1944, Piccoli was awarded the Purple Heart after he had been killed in action in France, less than a year after he had enlisted. After more research, Vic located Piccoli's 87-year-old sister. "The Purple Heart was all my parents had of my brother," she said. "They hung on to it for dear life, and we kids were allowed to hold it on special occasions." Later that year, Vic helped arrange a celebration where three generations of the Piccoli family came together for the first time ever to honor their fallen family member and receive his recovered Purple Heart. The Piccoli celebration was held by chance on August 7th, which the family later discovered is National Purple Heart Day. "It was yet another sign," said Vic. And that's what it was meant to be. Although the military has awarded more than 1.8 million Purple Hearts to soldiers, sailors, Marines, airmen, and Coast Guardsmen for bravery in combat, not all were engraved with the recipient's name. When Vic receives a medal that was engraved, he begins searching. Thanks to the internet's ever-expanding collection, genealogy, memorial, and military databases, not all of Vic's searches are as time-consuming as the first one. Sometimes he can locate the recipient or his or her family with only a few keystrokes. Once he locates a family, he gives them the option of having the medal simply mailed to them or receiving it via return ceremony that he arranges. At a typical ceremony, Vic or the charity's Valor Guard volunteers who help return medals will give a speech detailing the history of the Purple Heart. They then present the recovered medal and other supporting materials they might have located during the research to the recipient or relatives. Local military and other officials often take part, and the media frequently covers these events. These returns can be costly. Each one averages $1,200 for purchasing, refurbishing, and framing the medals, as well as traveling to the ceremony. To cut his cost, Vic confesses he has often slept in a rental car during some returns. He has received donations via his Purple Hearts Reunited nonprofit charity, but has spent thousands of dollars of his own money reuniting medals with families. "Now that I'm married and have two children, it's getting harder to afford money and spending the time," Vic said. "But I am never going to take money for what I do. I am not in this for the money." Despite the cost and time his research takes away from his family, Vic shows no sign of slowing down. He still scours internet auction sites, Craigslist, and stores for engraved Purple Hearts. Last year, his charity spent $50,000 buying 125 medals. His nonprofit now employs an executive director, Sarah Corey, the daughter of a twice-wounded Vietnam War Marine, and returns medals across the country. And as the charity's fame spreads, more and more people send in Purple Hearts that need to be researched and returned. Vic now has nearly 200 medals that he hopes to reunite with its recipients. Purple Hearts turn up everywhere, often in the unlikeliest places. Some have been stolen, others sold or misplaced. Vic has sent medals that were found in a landfill, covered with dirt, or on an elementary school ground, in yard and estate sales, in abandoned storage lockers, in garbage about to be discarded, and one that was found stuck in a dryer. Another was even dug up by a dog in someone's backyard. It can break your heart to see how little respect some people have for these Purple Hearts, Vic said. Reuniting these long-lost medals with their rightful owners motivates and always moves. A return brings closure to a family, but it often means much more, he explains. Vic remembers an especially touching ceremony in Massachusetts where he returned a Purple Heart to Connie Bachman, the 84-year-old sister of First Lieutenant Thomas E. Hardley. The Air Force pilot was killed while flying in the Korean War, and his Purple Heart had been lost for decades. In the 1960s, a landfill worker, who was a former World War II Marine, spotted Hadley's medal atop a garbage dump and rescued it. He handed it down to his son, who handed it down to his son, who sent it to Fick after he'd read about the Purple Hearts reunited. Several weeks after the return ceremony, Bachman called Fick and told him, "The loss of my brother created a hole in my heart I could never fill. I could never go to a veteran's ceremony or even look at the American flag because it would remind me of my brother." She paused, took a deep breath, then continued, "I have cancer and have been terrified of death all my life. But what you did, returning my brother's Purple Heart to me, made me feel completely at peace with my life. I am no longer afraid to die. Thank you." Vic then told her, "I really believe this is your brother making you strong." 2 days later, Bachman died. "I'm not a deeply religious person, but there's a power in these Purple Hearts and these decorated veterans that is undeniable," Vic said. I've seen it time and time again." Vic should know, although he rarely talks about it, he has another link with these fallen heroes. On September 11, 2010, 9 years to the day after terrorist attack, the World Trade Center, he was wounded while serving in the Vermont National Guard's 86th Combat Brigade in a rocket attack at Bagram Airfield in Afghanistan. Vic received his own Purple Heart for wounds received in combat against hostile enemy forces. The medal now hangs on the living room wall in his parents' home. As Fick sorts out to a recent batch of Purple Heart medals he has received and gets three to five a week, he confesses that he never forgets the stories of these Purple Heart recipients he has uncovered through his research. "I've spent so much time looking into their past that it's as if they're always with me, even after I've returned their medals. So many of these stories are so powerful." Then he turns to his computer and gets back to work, trying to get yet another long-lost Purple Heart back home where it belongs. Conclusion. The Purple Heart is semi-precious as a monetary article. It is priceless for what it represents to the individual awarded and their families. Two examples. Bellingham Bill's father was an Army Ranger tasked with scaling the cliffs of Normandy during the Allied invasion, who pretty much had his jaw blown away, but continued on to neutralize German gun emplacements. He was nominated for this nation's highest medal, but he refused that nomination. And my father, a tank commander serving under General Patton, who had his tank blown from under him while supporting troops in Belgium. He subsequently spent 6 months in a Belgium hospital and was relegated to MP duty thereafter. These men not only sacrificed years of their lives to protect us at home, they also drained their lives of blood in doing so. Most of we vets were fortunate enough to avoid wounds, and we unanimously support the best of care for those who were wounded. War will go on, and the best of the best this country has to offer will continue to protect our freedoms. These days, I often ask myself why. One thing I do know, courage will never go out of style. It just becomes a little harder to find. The Purple Heart will continue to be awarded to those who value love of country, honor, and integrity above self-gratification, and so it should be. God bless our military, our veterans, those protecting us foreign and domestically, and, of course, you faithful listeners and your families. Back to NASCAR.
That was good.
Yeah, I want to say something. First of all, I go to a lot of these places, you know, like antique stores, and you do see Purple Hearts floating around.
That's sad, isn't it?
Well, and other types of medals. It's really quite common.
And the how do they run them down if there's no name on a back?
Yeah, I don't know how they can. You can't do it.
Unless they're personally engraved.
Yeah. Most of them are engraved with the
recipient's name. Not engraved.
Yeah. They're not.
No. Unless it's a situation that's very valorous.
Did the person themselves get it engraved?
You can do it yourself.
Yeah, maybe that's it. But the second thing, there was an auction just last weekend where there was an auction of a commendation certificate signed by a president for a Medal of Honor for somebody who won it during the Civil War. It went for about $400.
Really?
Yeah, I was quite shocked at that. I've never seen that before.
Hmm.
So.
Did it get bought up?
Yeah, it got bought up. Who knows who bought it and what they're going to do with it. They may have just bought it for the president's signature. I mean, it was somebody in the Civil War who won it.
Wow.
It wasn't the medal itself. It was the certificate.
Just a certificate.
Yeah, commending him, but still.
Wow.
It was a pretty unusual thing, I thought.
They're valuable. The Purple Heart is valuable. It's got gold.
Oh, really?
Gold.
Real gold?
Line.
Yeah.
It's got the George Washington cameo.
Yeah.
It's,
I wonder if a lot of them were melted down when gold was so high. People would melt down anything when the silver and gold prices
were
high.
Your teeth and everything.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Well, but that's quite unique what this guy is doing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Himself,
yeah.
You know, that's pretty cool. Well, good job, Larry. And as always, we start out with a couple of songs in honor of those who have served both past and presently to keep us free and safe.
My dear son, it's almost June. I hope this letter catches up with you and finds you well. It's been dry, but they're calling for rain, and everything's the same old same in Johnsonville. Your stubborn old daddy ain't said too much, but I'm sure you know he sends his love. And she goes on in a letter from home. I hold it up and show my buddies like we ain't scared, and our boots ain't muddy, and they all laugh like there's something funny about the way I talk when I say mama sends her best, y'all. I fold it up and put it in my shirt, pick up my gun and get back to work, and it keeps me driving on, waiting on letters from home. My dearest love, it's almost dawn. I've been lying here all night long, wondering where you might be. I saw your mama and I showed her the ring. Man on a television said something, so I couldn't sleep. But I'll be alright, I'm just missing you. And this is me kissing you, X's and O's, in a letter from home.
I hold it up and show my buddies like we ain't scared of our but the same buddy and they all laugh. Cause she calls me honey, but they take it hard. Cause I don't read the good part. I fold it up and put it in my shirt. Pick up my gun and get back to work. And it keeps me driving on. Waiting on letters from home. Dear son, I know I ain't written. Sitting here tonight alone in the kitchen, it occurs to me I might not have said it, so I'll say it now. Son, you make me proud. I hold it up and show my buddies like we ain't scared in our boots. Ain't buddy, but no one laughs. Cause there ain't nothing funny when a soldier cries. And I just wipe my eyes. I fold it up and put it in my shirt. Pick up my gun and get back to work. And it keeps me driving on. Waiting on letters from home.
Shut the door. You crossed the sea to fight a war. You didn't know just what would happen to you. Stepped in the dirt, boots on the ground, and gunfire was the only sound. And to yourself, you whispered, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Strength to carry on. You thought it'd be much better. try each day, keep pushing through, but the battle lives inside of you. It's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Veterans Version by Sailor Jerry. Today, partly cloudy, a high of 66. Tonight, partly cloudy skies, a low of 48. Tomorrow, sunshine in the morning, followed by cloudy skies during the afternoon, a high of 64. You're listening to Hometown Sunday Morning on Robin Hood Radio. I'm Chad Wildy.
Drew Leary.
Farmer Paul.
And I'm NASCAR Dave, and good morning. You're live on Hometown Sunday Morning. Good morning. Hello.
All right, well.
I guess we lost Bellingham Bill.
Well, you have a...
Well, it's time for him to call back. What do you think about that?
Fine.
Just use your little fingers, touch the pad on your phone, and call back.
Pad?
Oh, you don't have that. No, that's right. You've got one of them old flip phones. But they have it as a keypad.
However, I have learned now that Google Timeline cannot track where I am.
Who would want to know where you are?
He's back on.
Good morning. You're live on Hometown Sunday Morning. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm good. How are you today?
Hello, sir.
Yeah, can you hear me, Bill?
No. One second. Let me see how you turn up the volume on the phone.
Okay. He can't hear me. We can hear you loud and clear.
Yeah.
What are we doing now?
I don't know.
Yeah, hello.
Is that better, Bill?
Yes, hello.
Okay, how are you?
Fine, sir, fine.
Okay.
I presume I'm coming through okay.
You're coming through loud and clear.
Hello.
You're coming through loud and clear.
Okay, you're down in the dirt, but I'll be tramping on it in a little while.
Oh, that's good. Bring it on.
No, I just wanted to talk to you and the group. Of course, in speaking with you guys, I definitely get to speak with the best crowd there is, and that's your fan base, whether it be one or two. But, no, I wanted to call and tell Larry thank you for the presentation on the Purple Hearts. It's good to remind the public that there's men, unfortunately, and women that didn't make it back to our soil here in the country. And a lot of these Purple Hearts bring back a lot of memories of good times for the families, as well as what their son or daughter has done for this country. Some of them get to speak to their brothers, sisters, sons, and daughters a little bit, but unfortunately they don't find out the complete story until after their passing, or they never do because it's never talked about. Speaking of my father, I mean, he received 5 of those Purple Hearts. Along with that, to say how we... The family knew that we were becoming short on generations to come. So we made it permanent that we returned ours to the government down at Fort Bragg, to the museum. A lot of people might say that's a poor way to celebrate it, but he went back to allow the young men and women. It was talked about and presented to the government to allow him to send in his uniform, which was the old Eisenhower uniform, tailored vest and more or less the jackets, the pants, different style than what we see of the camo today. But we turned in his uniform back to the Ranger organization, including his ribbons, his uniform, and they presented it at their headquarters down there during the deployment of the first group going to Saudi Arabia. And Desert Storm and the one before that, every individual that was going over passed in front of his uniform because they teach honor and respect still in the group that's going overseas to respect their country, respect themselves, and show the honor for what this country stands for. So that's where his uniform is at. That's where his memories will always be, to be dictated to and shown to the youngsters going overseas, which protects our freedoms. I thought I would get all this out before it touches the heart. So, anyways, Dave, I'll stop. But yes, Larry, thank you. Thank you.
Nice job, Bill. You did a great job. And that's good you took that and you passed that uniform and all his ribbons on for generations to see and generations to see and know what it's all about. That's very noble of the family.
But it's good for the country.
Yeah, well, it's good for the, it can be viewed by those
but
that
hopefully
appreciate
in country. The future, more people will understand how good this country is and what it really stands for, of the freedoms that we have. And you don't have to be a millionaire to have them. You're not. We just have to have the acceptance of our freedoms. Not only us being able to get to them, but the ones being born with legal parents, whether how we got here, I don't care. But when they file for their paperwork to become a citizen of this United States, it's time that they understand what this country stands for. The young people that are born with legal parents here that are nationalized or natives, as they say, within this country, they should understand that, yes, it is a fantastic country. Yes, it will prosper because of good people. The founders and the forefathers, whether they be whatever color skin they are, they have generated a package for all of us to continue as a loving, quote unquote, we have a supreme being. Yes. Our nation has come a long way from the time that we separated from England. There's been a lot of good things done in this country. A lot of things that still need to be corrected. We cannot stop that. But we have to take the step and correct them, not divide our country. We are one. I don't care who you are. We are one. You have to understand that your military has stepped up every day and perform their duties. Our first response people, whether it be the fire, the police, the EMTs, or just mom and pop across the street that might turn around and be able to assist in an emergency. That's what our country is about. They stand up for each other. There goes my attack dog.
Are you being attacked?
And I understand.
It must be a squirrel outside.
Once again, thank you very much, Larry. Dave, thank you for your program to honor the vets. More so, old farmer Paul sitting there quietly today. That's something.
Yeah, well,
yes, his educational parts.
he adds when there has to be educational points brought up.
Right, but in reference to the program, your fans, that's what makes the program, because they respect some of the things that are being said on a weekly basis there. You have a great program. I will say that for you. But it's up to Jill and up to Marshall to make sure the program continues, whether it be with the same staff. Were you trying to leave that mark to say that you've been there? They won't make a George Washington's suite to say that you slept there, but you can take your false teeth out like George does, but whatever, and leave them on the countertop, or leave your mic there. But, hey, I'll let you go.
Hey,
you have a good day, sir.
You too, Bill.
Once again, thank you very much. Don't forget for the fans to support the smallest NPR station right there in your hometown. There's I don't say it as nice as what Marshall says it about it's a non-profit and all that stuff. The organization always needs money. You can always take a $5 bill and drop it there. Say hello to Marshall. Shake his hand. Put a smile on his face. Make that donation. And keep the radio station where it belongs, on the air. Dave, if you don't have anything to say,
hey, Bill,
there's a problem. But the radio station turned your mic off.
There's somebody that
but
wants to
anyways,
talk to you.
You have a good day,
Bill.
Yes, sir.
Somebody wants to say something.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Bill, it's Marshall here.
Yes.
Hey, thank you for all that you do. I always have to credit Jill Goodman because she is the other half of this duo that works hard to keep this radio station on air.
That's correct. I mean, the two of you make a great team for the community. And you put on the air what helps the community. And that's the best thing that the radio station has, as you and her know. You support the barn, you support different organizations in town. You two as a group make that radio program the best there is for, I'll say it, our community. And that's what they need. It doesn't hurt to smile at somebody, to shake their hand, joke with them. It doesn't hurt. They see enough and they hear enough off all the other communication stations that could really make a negative day. And you're fully aware what comes across the lines for news broadcast or anything like that. It's terrible. We are a good people. And our youngsters have to understand good does not mean that you destroy something. So, sir, you and the boss lady, make sure you continue. You're doing a great job.
All right, thank you.
And hopefully you continue to have the finances to keep your idea and Jill's idea alive.
Oh, thank you, and we'll try. Thank you, Bill.
All right, sir. You take care.
All right, Bill. Thank you very much for the call, buddy. You have a great day.
All right, sir. Take care.
Good afternoon.
Sir. All right, mate.
So I do want to address what happens when Dave leaves, okay? you don't replace someone like Dave in an instant. It just doesn't happen. You don't replace somebody who shows up every week for, what, 20-some years?
Yeah, 26 anyway.
Except for some weeks when even when they go on vacation to a foreign island, he's on the air. The only time he's not really on the air is when we have a holiday that falls on that date, and also when doesn't feel well, which I think has happened never, or else when they're at a NASCAR race and there's no Wi-Fi or anything like that. You don't just replace that. This is not just a radio show that somebody comes in and hosts. So what we're going to do is continue with country music, and what we're going to do is Larry, instead of coming in on a Sunday, is going to record his stuff if he wants to, and we'll keep his commentary going as part of the show. We're going to have Willie Han as part of the show. We're going to have Gene Salater as part of the show. But to expect that we're going to find a host that is going to come in and do what you have done for all these years is you just don't find that right away. So we're going to keep the concept of the show. And, Larry, I'm asking you right now if you would be willing to do that, to record these rants.
The political agenda? No.
No, whatever you do,
You do the troop tribute.
It's such a crazy world.
Yeah, but whatever you do, I would like you to continue doing a troop tribute. And if you go off on alternate rants, we trust you. So I'd like you to keep doing that.
I'll give it serious consideration, and I intend to retire my ranting and raving hat to you.
My ranting and raving hat gets less and less and less because there's other people to do it. But I'm serious. We would love you to continue with your troop tribute. That we would love you to do that.
I'm going to retire my physical ranting and raving hat. I haven't worn it in a few months.
But
so I will retire that to the show, and you can hang it on the wall somewhere.
But and we're going to have Willie, and we're going to have Gene, and we're going to try to do it. But you just don't replace. You just don't replace someone like Dave. I mean, I'll put it this way. Look what happened at WFAN in New York. About a year and a half ago, the guy that did afternoons for 20-some years retired, and they bought in another show right away with different hosts, and it just didn't. You know, it's not the same thing. You can't replicate what Dave has done.
What's unique about this Hometown Sunday Morning? In my opinion, I've been here 6-7 years or something, and he has a plan. It all goes to hell right away.
Yeah.
Everything is just off the cuff through the whole thing, and it's straightforward from the heart, talking to the people, and you have differences of opinion, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, where you can't on other commentaries and broadcasts you can't make. And that's what's nice about this show.
But, yeah, it's like I say, you just don't replace – you don't replace a NASCAR. You don't replace a Dave McMillan. The show is built around his personality.
Paul's joking.
but it's true. I don't know if you know what I mean. It's the show's like if something ever happened to Jill or I, it would be a big problem for this radio station because of the chemistry that we have and what we've built on the air. So you just don't go out and replace NASCAR Dave and think the show's going to continue the same. It can't. It just can't because it's not the guy who's running it or the gal who's running it is just not NASCAR Dave. So. When that person steps forward, and sooner or later they will, who's willing to make that commitment, and even that show won't be the same. I mean, I could bring in any number of people. It's just not going to be the same. So we've got to give it some time to settle down, but there's still going to be a lot of things that go on the air.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, but it's just, it's hard. It's just incredibly hard. I mean – It's something that Joe and I have thought about for months and months and months. And now that the date's here, it's really tough. It really is. You just don't replace the originality.
You can't Farmer Paul is irreplaceable.
He is.
Irredeemable.
In his own
irredeemable, yes.
In his own way.
I mean,
I was just out there. I was trying to get Ralph to do it.
Which is a good way.
I think Ralph would be great.
Jill would be at a loss if she didn't come in some year and not see glitter on the floor.
She'll come in on Sunday anyways, like I come in on Sundays. But, yeah, you can ask somebody if they want to host a show. Yes. Are you willing to commit 50 out of 52 weeks a year?
Yeah.
For nothing.
3 hours.
For nothing. Yeah. For the community.
Yeah.
For the community. That's, you know, it's so funny. We had an engineer that we ended up getting rid of that. It was sending us all these bills, and we pay them, and we said, "Well, you're the only vendor that requires us to pay in advance. I mean, we pay all our bills within 30 days of vendors." And he goes, "Well, you guys pay yourselves." And we said, "Take a look at our 990. No, Jill and I don't get paid. No, we put in money to do this. We get money elsewhere because we do this because we think the community needs it." Would you, everybody else ran out of town. WKZE, and I love those folks. They went to Red Dog. Q103 leased out to whatever it is. They're not.
Yeah, that's really different.
They're not local at all. And to be quite honest with you, we could have left it like it was, but we didn't. We originally bought the AM station. We paid way too much money for it. We figured it was the building base to still have a local radio station. And then we added the different FMs on to it over the course of years. So, I mean, we've got well over $600,000 invested in just keeping radio local here. And it's a big commitment, but we do it because the area needs a local radio station. And we do it because we have volunteers that come in and do it week in, week out. I mean, our shows, if you look at our shows, we have four shows that aren't done locally. All Things Considered, Morning Edition, the Capitol Press Room, and our classical music. Everything else is done by volunteers. And they do it week in and week out. And there's no editorial control of any of the shows. None whatsoever. It's hard to find people that are willing to do that commitment. When they find them and they come in and they walk in and they prove they can do it, it's one thing. But we'll continue with the basis of the show, absolutely. Absolutely. And hopefully someone will come along.
Willie's picking up a lot of
the activity.
The activity getting things on the air. A lot of the things that he talks about, I've never heard of some of these fundraisers.
We'll definitely have Willie do it, and we'll have Jeannie do that. And like I said, if you would like to continue to do what you do, Larry, absolutely, absolutely, your segment can absolutely continue on.
And Paul, you can do what you do too. Nothing. Yeah, okay, just continue to do it. Nothing.
Sums it up.
You're a good greeter, though. You're a good greeter when guests come in. You go in and make sure they have what they need. And
the great thing about you, though, and the reason is you're a great punching bag for Dave.
What?
Wow, imagine that.
No, it's like Abbott and Costello.
Well, you shouldn't have brought that to his attention now, because now he's going to feel bad all
it's
day.
It's like Bob and Ray. Everybody needs a straight man. Everybody needs a straight man if you're going to have, and you have filled that role admirably. Admirably.
I'm a slow talker of America.
But just think of all the different people that have been part of the show.
Oh my God.
A lot of them, yeah.
Rolly Finn. How about Rolly Finn? You worked with him when? Back in the 60s?
I started at WKNY when Rolly just had left there. He was a big jockey.
He was a big shot there.
Big time. Big in the Hudson Valley. Very big.
Wasn't there that Johnny D? Was he on the show?
Johnny V?
Johnny V.
Yeah, he's passed away now.
Johnny V was,
we've had some characters on here.
Steve Value was here for a while.
Your friend Bobby Chapfield, wasn't he on?
Bobby started it. Bobby got me into it originally. But then there's also Gretchen Hitzelberger, who came in faithfully every single week. And that all started through the garden club thing. That's how I got to meet her. So interesting people.
It's a show that has grown naturally and differently. And it's you just don't say, okay, we're going to continue it on with X person. Do what NASCAR Dave did. Never going to happen. It's not going to happen that way.
Well, don't forget, we got Ralph Fidelli waiting in the wings.
I know.
Too.
He's, you know, just, he's another patient.
He just walks in.
I know. He just walks in. But
he's the only one that takes me serious. Just walk in. He does.
But how about all
the
work?
Yes, he is the only one.
But just take this. All the work that Ralph did, right? All the work that Ralph did when he started with that schoolhouse, I would say 50% of the town said, lock him up.
Yeah.
Send him to a nut house because he's crazy.
No, I say that now. I didn't say it then.
and damn! If years later, if you look at it, the damn thing's done. It looks beautiful.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's great in the center of town.
His mission.
And now, I know if he started to do the show, he would have to do what he does now. He's looking for volunteers.
Yeah.
To staff down there.
He's in the wings, yeah, standing.
So I'll let him come in. So that's the problem you face. You know, you need people that are going to show up.
Speaking of talent, it's time to take a break.
Yes, he's...
Take a break.
10 o'clock. We're at the top of the hour.
We're being told to take a break by...
Yeah. Chad.
By Chad. The guy who's got full-time great employment now.
But you know what? Yeah. Here's the thing.
Thank God, because he doesn't get paid here.
At 10:05, we have to call Patty Morrison, who's in charge of the fundraiser today in Millerton.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk to her. And then we're going to get Ralph in here.
Right after that.
And then
Willie. What about Willie?
Well, Willie's going
is Willie exiled to the 11 o'clock hour?
Well, Willie's going to be on hold for a little bit.
And we've got the milkmaid on line one.
Oh, yeah, we got the milkmaid on line one. We're all tied up. Let's just do top of the hour.
Yeah,
okay?
We're going to start there.
Robin Hood Radio is WHDD AM and FM Sharon, WBSL FM Sheffield, and WLHV FM Annandale on Hudson.
Excuse me, what's your name?
My name is Robin Hood Radio.
And what do you think you're doing?
I'm taking back the airwaves. What do you think I'm doing?
Well, why are you taking back the airwaves?
Well, somebody has to do it.
So how can I help?
Well, all you do is turn on, tune in, and drop out. Robin Hood Radio, taking back the airwaves just for you.
The smallest NPR station in the nation.
All right, you're listening to Hometown Sunday Morning on Robin Hood Radio and robinhoodradio.com. I'm Chad Wildy.
Patriot Larry.
Punching bag Paul.
NASCAR Dave. Is the milkmaid on? Good morning. You're live on Hometown Sunday Morning.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
What's up?
Well, we have the Pine Plains FFA Ag Fair coming up, Columbus Day weekend.
Oh, that's right, too. I forgot all about that.
Yes, it's Friday, October 5th, and Saturday the 6th. And do you want me to read the schedule of events?
Sure.
Okay, on Friday at 9 o'clock, all the exhibits are in their places. There's section judging, which is rabbits, poultry, etc. 11 o'clock is the livestock confirmation classes. 11:30 is the dairy show. Following that is the FFA dairy showmanship. At 12 o'clock, the inside exhibits are open to the public, and there's the Pine Plains Garden Club flower show going on as well. At 3:30, the weigh-in for the lawn tractor poll, and that begins at 3:30. And that night from 5 to 7 is the roast beef dinner, which is very well attended. The tickets are $15 for adults, $8 for children, 10 and under, and it's free for 3 years old and under. And it's recommended that you get reservations because we do get a good crowd.
Don't recommend. Just say you need to have a reservation because you sell out.
Yes, we do. And the phone number for that is 518-398-7181, extension 1155. And then on Saturday, we have the parade. The lineup is at 9 o'clock at Seymour Smith. The parade's at 9:30, which is when the antique tractor pulling contest starts. At 10 o'clock, there's horse showmanship and the FFA food booths open. 11 o'clock, all the exhibits are open, and there's the championship horse pole. There's a chicken barbecue put on by the Pine Plains Hose Company, and that one, if you don't reserve ahead, you don't get one. And the number for that is 518-398-1311. And also at 11 o'clock is the Livestock Showmanship. 11:30 is Dairy Showmanship. And at 2 o'clock is the Pet Show and the Cow Pie Raffle. And there's something else going on in town from 3 to 5:30. I believe there's a flea market, and the Memorial Hall is giving tours of the progress that they're making. And it's free parking and free fare admission, so there's something for everyone there, and we hope to see you there.
Well, let's hope the weather cooperates. It's a rain or shine event, but I tell you what, that fair over there on Columbus Day weekend, it's huge, it's well attended, and it's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun, and you know, even if it gets rained out, people still show up because it's a big event for us.
All right, so that's a full 2 days, actually, Friday and Saturday.
Yes, Friday there's a lot of activities that the classes do. There's competitions, a parade of colors, but Saturday is the really big day with the cow shows and the pet shows and the cow pie raffle.
All right, so what are you doing for it?
I'm not really sure yet.
They haven't decided. They haven't told you, or are you just undecided?
I'm undecided.
Oh, you are. Well, that's a good thing. You can pick and choose what you want to do.
Yeah, you can do that when you get older.
I didn't know that.
Well, sometimes other people pick and choose for you.
Oh, you mean like a real job?
No, volunteer stuff.
All right. Okay. Well, it's all good, and I'm glad you brought it to our attention about this, and I'm sure you'll call again next week because it's still a week and a half or 2 weeks out, right?
Yes.
I won't be able to attend this year. I'm going to be in Florida.
Well, we'll miss you, but we'll be thinking of you.
Well, we're only going down for the weekend. My wife hasn't seen the house yet, so she needs to see the house.
That would be a good idea.
Yeah, I think that's 100% right. So,
are you wearing a helmet when she looks at the house?
No, not at all. No, the house is Richard down in Leesburg. He made it a palace from what it was when we saw it. Well, when we purchased it, it's a palace.
That's good.
I mean, even Pat Dineen likes it. So that's got to be good, right?
Yes, it does.
If Pat Dineen likes it, everybody's going to like it, right?
Sure.
That's what I'm thinking, too. All right, Debbie, I got a full schedule, so thank you very much, and I'm sure we'll talk again next week, right?
Okay, you guys have a great day.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Okay, with that being said, we've got to make that phone call, Chad, to Patty Morrison because she's flat out busy today. Ralph, you okay here?
Yeah.
You're not cold or anything? I mean, you got your winter jacket on and...
Do you want a cup of coffee?
45.
Can we get you a bagel or something?
No, I haven't.
Do you have 5 or 10 minutes to sit here, or you want a tight leash? I mean, you've got to get back and open up the schoolhouse.
Open up the schoolhouse.
What time?
Normally, I open up at 10 o'clock.
Well, guess what? You failed. You had a failure.
Well, where's John Hicks, though?
I'm going to have all our international guests waiting outside.
Right, the international guests. Well, we're going to talk to Patty Morrison about fundraiser. That shouldn't take too long. So
got time.
Because she's a little shy on the radio. She's not like you. So good morning. You're live on Hometown Sunday Morning.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Patty. How are you?
We're good. We're all here busy at the firehouse setting up.
I can imagine. So, big day in Millerton with the Jimmy Tanner fundraiser.
Yes, it is.
Let's go through the whole scenario. We've got a minute. How did the fire department step up to the plate and want to help Jimmy Tanner?
Well, his son, young Jimmy, belongs to the fire department. So we're sort of all like family. And we decided that it would be a good thing to do a fundraiser.
Well, so Let's go through the process. How's it been going?
Oh, God, it's been going fantastic. I cannot believe the amount of people that have given, and the help and the support is just unbelievable. I mean, I'm overwhelmed today. Just overwhelmed.
That's a beautiful thing. So
yes, it is.
Now, this is a chicken barbecue. It's going to run from 2 to 6, but the tickets are sold out, right?
Tickets are sold out.
Okay.
But we are selling hamburgers and hot dogs.
So there you go. So you see, this is
important. If anybody wants to come, enjoy the music.
Right. So
now have a hamburger, hot dog.
All right. So let's do this. Who are the bands that donated their time? They're going to play.
We have the Fender Benders and Precious Country are coming together as one band. They're playing together.
Really?
Yep.
That should be pretty awesome.
Yeah, I can't wait.
And they're going to play right there at the firehouse.
They're going to play right here at the firehouse. It's open to anyone. Come down.
Right. So if you don't have a barbecue ticket, that's what I wanted to stress today, because I knew the tickets were pretty short.
Right. No, if they don't have a ticket, they're all welcome to come and listen to the music.
Absolutely, and you can still get in all the raffles. You can buy tickets.
Oh my goodness, we've got some raffles we're doing bids on, because we have some pretty big prizes.
All right, so what do you got? You got to tell us so everybody knows, because there might be
people. Well, just moved them all out of my site. We have Mets tickets. We have 4 Mets tickets. Those are going to be, they're going to be like people are going to bid on them. They'll privately bid. I mean, they'll write their bids down.
Yep.
So somebody can go behind them and rebid over the top of that.
Yep.
So there's certain items. So we have the 4 Mets tickets. We have a power wash. From Jeff Dunleavy. The Mets tickets are from Jeff Dunleavy. We have a beautiful wicker bar from Riley's Furniture with a cutting board and cheese knives and wine. And we have beautiful stools from the other furniture store in Millerton on 22. I can't remember the name of it.
North Elm?
North Elm.
Sorry.
That's North Elm.
North Elm, exactly. And then we have some beautiful, beautiful Princess House pans, which retails over $300. And we have a lot of beautiful, silent auctions from Elizabeth's Jewelry. We've got a nice hunting basket from Larry Selvidge and his significant other. And we have, Dave, there's so much I can't name it all.
Wow. So
yeah.
The people have really stepped up to the plate, the community.
Yes, they have. We have probably over 60 items with gift certificates and items. We have over 60 items just for the silent auction or Chinese auction, whichever you want to call it. And then, of course, we have Dale Earnhardt jacket. We have two jackets for NASCAR racing. And we have, Yankee, I think it's Yankee, New York Yankee jersey with a bat signed by, I don't know his name. I'm terrible, Dave. I'm sorry. I didn't get to see everything yet.
Sorry.
Yeah. Lots and lots of stuff. So, and then we're going to do a 50-50 raffle. So.
Well, the 50-50 raffle should be big.
It should be. Yes.
All right, so once again, that starts at 2 o'clock, right?
It does. We're setting up inside. We're setting up outside. Everybody, come join us. Enjoy the music. Enjoy the day. Have fun.
Okay. And we got to thank Wade down at McEnroe Organic. I sent down the ingredients he wanted for coleslaw for 450 people.
Yep.
And he did it in a matter of like an hour and a half. Done.
Oh, my Lord.
Made up. Ready to go.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to have somebody go down and pick that up also.
Yeah, well, you better take a truck, because that's a lot of coleslaw. Okay?
Well, somebody's going down with a truck.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, my wife and I will be down later just to see if you need anything. I'm sure you have enough help. I see the... I see Bruce Goff, who volunteered his time to help with the chicken, 450 halves, and the folks up at Hillsdale Market did the best they could for the cost of the chicken. It's going along well. I think you're going to raise. You'll be surprised how much money you raise.
Money and Sean, yes, they did.
Okay, Patty, we'll let you go. Patty?
All right, Dave. Thanks a lot, too, from you.
Okay, you have a great day.
All right, Dave. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
See, that's what happens when you run a show like that. You get people walking up to you and talking to you about things that need to be done. That's a... Let me tell you why. That's a big undertaking. You're going to serve 450 people.
Oh, my God.
That's pretty big. That's what they sold, and you know what? They could have sold more.
And Bruce has got to work tomorrow, too.
Yeah, well, that's just the way it goes. So that's Patty Morrison. Let's play a quick tune, Chad, and then we're going to bring in the world-famous Ralph Fidelli.
You got it. It's Hometown Sunday Morning on Robin Hood Radio, WHDD. I'm Chad Wildy.
Patriot Lurie.
Farmer Paul.
I'm NASCAR Dave. Boy, this segment right here, you thought the other two or three were good so far?
Yeah.
Wow. Wait till you hear this segment.
Oh, with Ralph Fidelli?
Push that microphone.
I'm telling you what.
He's got Willie
Hallahan.
Eat your heart out.
You bitch. I'm telling you what. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning, Dave. Nice
How are
to
you
be
today?
Here. I'm doing okay.
So, I haven't seen you in quite a while.
Yeah, it's been a while, yeah.
And I asked people around town, how everything is going, and they say it's all going good, but he's busy, and I see a couple of your volunteers once in a while, the Walters getting coffee in the morning and this and that.
Yep.
So are we here to talk about the schoolhouse? Because, see, this is new to me. I've always told you to walk in, so I don't know what we're going to talk
this
about.
This is like coffee. There is no agenda.
No agenda.
Everything
no
is
agenda.
Open.
Okay. Wow. That's
you
too.
Can get the whole scoop here.
I can get everything here. All right, so let's start out. What's going on with the schoolhouse? I mean, how is the summer now that we're into the fall?
I'm glad it's over, actually, almost over. We close our season on Columbus Day, and we do have an art show, the last art show of the season, and this is with Robert Patrick Coombs. He will be our artist, and it's part of the Millerton Fall for Art event on October 6th. It's going to be really big in the village. Very nice. All the shops are set up with different artists, we're looking forward to it. So it all depends on the weather. We're keeping our fingers crossed. It's just like every outdoor
event.
Yeah,
no, absolutely.
You know, but we'll see what happens.
And then that's the last event?
Yeah.
Well, you do Halloween, don't you?
We have the Rockanova Craft Show, which this will be the second full year, maybe the third year. This year, in fact, John came to us and said that his event was so successful last year. He runs it just 2 days before Thanksgiving last year. And he said it was so successful that he asked if he could have 2 weekends. And we said, absolutely. It's a not-for-profit organization that John runs, and it benefits a school in Africa, and John's done a phenomenal job. So he sells all his wooden crafts. They're beautiful things. And
did he carve?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He spends pretty much the whole year, he told me, you know, working on them, getting his inventory ready. And his prices are great. The quality is phenomenal. And the cause is good. So that's terrific.
Wow. So yeah. That's going to be in just before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it'll be 2 weeks prior to Thanksgiving, 2 weekends. And we heat the building up for him. He comes there, he and his wife come, and they're all bundled up. We have the heaters, 2 heaters up, and he sets his inventory up, and it gets a lot of people. I think last year probably, I think several thousand dollars.
Wow.
So it was very good for him.
Good for him.
Yeah.
So now, are you going to do Halloween?
Yes, we are. And that'll be done on, what is it?
October, whatever. Right?
Yeah. It's going to be set up this year as a maze. There'll be corn husks. Be a maze set up in the front. And, you know, Joanne Scazzo and Stone are going to help set up the schoolhouse with all sorts of scary events.
Oh, cool.
Inside. It'll be nice.
Nice.
Very nice.
And that's free and open to the public,
oh, yeah,
too.
Oh, yeah. We'll have pumpkin carving and pumpkin painting in the back of the schoolhouse. So we're going to get some pumpkins probably from the Merwin Farm, as we did last year. And I have a lot of fun just taking a look at all the kids and how they're enjoying the season.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
Well, and that's what the schoolhouse is all about anyway. It's about education.
Absolutely.
One form or the other and having fun, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Now,
big issue that we've had, Dave, is getting volunteers. You know, this is probably the fourth or fifth year that we've been open to the public. And many of us devote a lot of time and effort to keeping that building open, and John Walters has done a stellar job. He's terrific. He's on our board, and you can count on John every Saturday from 10 until 1 o'clock. He's there acting as a docent. But we do need volunteers. And next year, you know, the board has been discussing ways of, you know, how do we how do we get a group of people to devote 3 hours to the schoolhouse? And you know, I'm getting old at this point, not going to be around forever, so we've got to find ways to keep the schoolhouse going in the future. And we do need people to come up. And I assure anyone who's listening that if you get involved, if you're a people person, if you like to talk to people, if you're friendly, you will absolutely have fun at the schoolhouse, because you never know who you're going to talk to.